two of Paul's most important writings were Galatians and Galatians and Romans. And you know, I think about where we are, Pastor Laurie. I think about where we are in our revelation and understanding of righteousness and grace. And it's like, you know, it's taken me all this time, but God always was speaking to me about it. He was trying to reveal it to me. He was trying to reveal true grace and new creation realities and righteousness. And it started when I was in Bible college in 1978, 79. I was in Central Bible College of the Assemblies of God. And on our dormitory, there was this gentleman by the name of, and from Albany, New York. We're both from New York. It was amazing. We used to travel back and forth when we drove from, you know, New York State to Missouri. When we drove, we traveled together, and we were in the same car. But Chip Nichols was a follower of, at the time, Kenneth Hagin. Can you believe that? And he would come into our room, and he would try to tell us about Kenneth Hagin. And he would try to give us brochures. And you know your husband, right, Laurie? You know your husband. He said right away, he'd always say, "Oh no, I know all there is to know about faith." Can you imagine? Here I am, 18, 19 years old, and I'm letting him know I know all there is about faith. He's one of them faith guys. You know, name it, claim it. I didn't know anything about Kenneth Hagin. That was 1978, 1979. Then all of a sudden, in the year 2014, I fell in love with the teachings of Kenneth Hagin. Just think about all that time in between. You know, and when I was in Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, we had a teacher there that wasn't well liked because he was unlike anybody else. You know, I never forget Charles Harris. Charles Harris was wonderful, and he was beloved by everybody, Professor Harris. But Charles Harris's his mantra was, "I'm just a worm." You know, there's no good in me. I'm not righteous. There's none right. And you know, he walked around kind of like a Mother Teresa personality, you know? And everybody thought he was just, wow, look how humble he is. Look how holy he is. Look how, you know, he's always admitting we think he's amazing and we think he's super, you know, he's a great teacher, but he professes himself to be, you know, lowly and not of importance and whatnot, sinner saved by grace, you know. And here comes Benny Aker. You know, my last year there, for some reason, I was a junior, but I decided to take some senior classes. And I happened to take Galatians, Romans and Galatians by Benny Aker. And I never forget how I used to sit on the edge of my seat when I listened to Benny Aker, because he was teaching the true gospel of grace. He was teaching true righteousness. And it was there, you know, and then it lay dormant from 1979, 1980, all the way to, wow, 20, 30, 35 years later. And now I'm reminded of some of the things that I learned from Dr. Benny Aker that stayed with me, especially from the book of Romans. And so the Lord has always been trying to release from within me the true message of his grace. It probably would have been hard, because being a young guy, being in church, you know, being a part of a church, being a youth minister or whatever, you know, you're just not going to get too far. And my mom is on, I think my mom is on, and she'll tell you that at the time. And, you know, we actually thought, I don't know about my mom, but I believe that man of God there was bigger than the Pope, you know? Like, Laura, you were there too. Like, he took God's place on this earth. I mean, when he opened up that Bible, when he unzipped that Bible, man, we knew something magical was going to happen, you know? And nobody can speak like him or preach like him or teach like him. And, you know, so if I ever would come up with a contrary view or an opinion, there ain't no way in the world I was gonna, you know, approach him about it. So we went a lot of years, you know, a lot of years, and before we learned the truth. And My wife took a phone call today, and I don't know if the person my wife took a phone call today with is on yet, but she might be on. And it's like she wanted my wife, Pastor Lori, to validate the church she was going to, the church that she was attending. It's okay. I mean, this, we're speaking truth here. And but that's the case it is with many people, with just about everybody. Everybody tries to tell us about their church and what they're learning at their church or what's being taught in their church. Like, is this okay? Is that not okay? You know, and listen, Pastor Lenny and Pastor Lori are not here to tell you which church you should be in or to, you know, you should leave, or that's not our position. What our position is to teach you the true gospel of grace. That's it. Give you right filters, teach you right filters, all right, and then let you decide where you're going to be led or where you're going to go. It just so happens that, not so with this circle of people, but a lot of people just go to church because it's a great experience, you know? And I look at some churches with their music programs, with the smoke and fogging machines and camera action and whatnot. And I never forget, we went to one church, Pastor Lord, you know, she's here, so I have to tell the truth. When we were done with the service, and as we're being excused, and we step out of the sanctuary, they had like 10 food carts there. They had a taco cart. They had a hot dog cart, right? They had hamburgers, you know. They had Mexican cart over here. I mean, I'm like, what? Well, who doesn't want to come to this church, you know? And it doesn't matter the fact that the doctrine that came forth from that church was the total sovereignty of God. Not only did God decide who gets healed or who doesn't get healed, but in that particular denomination and that particular teaching, they also believe that God is sovereign to the point where he decides who gets saved and who doesn't get saved. Who the blood of Jesus was shed for and who the blood of Jesus wasn't shed for. And, you know, it's loaded with people, okay? But they're not getting the right doctrine. And if they're not getting the right doctrine, listen, I don't know if they're all saved. Some of them are saved. The ones that God selects are saved. But the thing about it is, Jesus came, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Now, we can have life, and a lot of Christians have life. They're living, they have life, but they're not having life more abundantly. They're not having that life more abundantly that Jesus, you know, that Jesus came to give. And I believe in the true gospel of grace, the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. That's where the life more abundantly lies. I can't imagine where my family would be if it wasn't for this revelation. All right? My daughter, 14 years, didn't have a single hair on her body. Okay? My wife with colonic inertia. My son, Brandon, he went through a bout with cancer. You know, my grandchildren, you know, myself. With COVID, I thought I was in my last day when I had the COVID, and then the victory walk through cancer. I am so glad that I know the true gospel of grace. I am so glad that I know about the fact of my righteousness. I'm so glad because I have no idea where I would be. I might not be here right now, right? Because I would have believed, well, this is. The doctor said 2% chance of living. That means this must be a sickness unto death, right? You know, because we went 35 years of marriage and we really didn't have a healing. No, we really didn't have healings, you know. I mean, I was a member of a church for I don't know how many years, and we really didn't see miraculous there. You know, if we got sick, we would testify. We would testify, Lord is building character in my life. The Lord is building character in my life, you know. Or we say, you know, I'm seeking any wicked way that's in me, and you know, the Lord is showing me, you know, to get rid of the wickedness and you know, I'm under chastisement. I mean, come on. You know, I'm so glad that you're gonna see in Paul's writings especially in Galatians as we move forward now. You see, you have to read a book. Well, you have to read the book of Galatians. You have to understand how important this book is. How important this book is to understanding the true gospel. How vitally important it is. It's important to understand what Paul is addressing, what Paul was facing, what Paul was dealing with, how prevalent what he was dealing with, or how prevalent that situation he was dealing with, how prevalent it was in the church at that time. All right? And then you understand it's still prevalent in the church today for two simple reasons. Number one, New Testament doesn't equal New Covenant. And people don't understand that in Paul's day, in most of the writings, the time of the writings of the New Testament, there were two gospels that were being preached. Two gospels that were being preached. And it's amazing. Of those two gospels that were being preached, one has survived more to today, right, than the other one has. And unfortunately, it's not the right one, you know? I hate the gospel of works. I hate the gospel of religion. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. And the Lord has placed upon us the ministry of releasing guilt, shame, and condemnation for the people of God. Because they're not doing enough, or they haven't done enough, or they, you know, they're failing. They need to do more. They have to work harder. This is all about what Jesus has done, his toil, his work, his effort. Not us. Not what we have to do. What he did. What he did. And and embracing our righteousness. I have one dear brother. Can I share this? You think I can share this? I shared it a little bit yesterday. I have this dear brother. He called me up 3 days ago. And he said, "Pastor Lenny, I'm not going to be around much longer. You know, I know I'm dying." And he's whittling away to nothing. And he said, "You know, I just figured I can reach out and call you." And I said, I called him by his name and I said, "You make sure you call me every day because I want to hear from you every day. You are my hero. You are my hero. You are my hero." And I'm giving him some instruction, you know, some instructions on not about works, but about resting in the fact that God loves him and God is pleased with him and he's fully qualified and there's no work he has to do. You know, and as we're talking to him, he says, "Oh, Pastor, you know, it's like there's, my mind is like, I'm such a failure. I failed God so much. I have so much guilt in my life for my past sins." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, who have you been listening to?" And then he tells me that he called up a prayer line of one of our, you know, a prayer line that we might all be familiar with. And he said, "Pastor Lenny, I called up that prayer line and you know what they told me?" And he barely can speak. Right, Laura? Barely can speak. I asked him where he lived. He said Chicago. I said, "Man, if you were closer, I can't get to Chicago. I surely would come." But he was saying he called him up a few days ago. Now he says he's not calling him up anymore. He's just going to call me because I told him to call me up every day. "You call me up every day." And today he sounded better. I sent him worship music and I said, "You listen to worship music." And I sent him about 12 or 15 songs by Charity Gale. And I sent him Waymaker, Miracle Worker. He never heard of that song, you know. Messages about songs about Jesus, and he says he's just listening. And today he sounded a little bit better. And I'm saying, listen, if you get a hold of that revelation of love, okay, and righteousness, if you get a hold of that, I'm telling you what, man, that grace and that power is ready to be released. You call me every day. But anyway, he said 3 days ago I called up this prayer chain, and Pastor Lenny, I'm shriveling away. And you know what they told me? They tell me, "Well, you got to use your authority. You got to stand on your authority. You got to command. You got to, you know, you have to believe." He said, Pastor Lenny, I'm believing. I've been believing. I've been staying. You know, how much more do I have to do? You know, am I that much of a failure? And I'm like, you know what? I said, man, I wish I could reach through that phone and get to that person that told you that and just slap him beside his head. Because that's what religion does. That's religion's answer. You know that? They want to get it off. The simple fact, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep hearing about him. Keep it on that simple fact. That's it. That's what Paul says, right? You know his love. You know how deep and wide and far and wide his love is for you. You get firmly rooted and planted in his love. Why? His love for you. Why? Because faith is energized by love. You keep hearing about Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Why? Because faith comes. That's it. Hear about Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. Hear about Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. That's it. If you want to call that a work, that's the only work I'm telling you to do. Fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on his love. Keep hearing about him. And something happens. Something happens. Something happens. That power source that's within you, man, it gets ignited. It gets ignited. I told him, I said, when that song Waymaker came out, remember when that song Waymaker came out? Mom, you were in the house when I put it on the TV. I listened to that song for 3 hours straight. 3 hours straight. Same song. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. And in my soul and in my heart, Waymaker, miracle worker, Waymaker, miracle worker, you know, the healer. And you know, like, it just infuses you. And it infuses you. And that's how my healings have come. My healings have come through worshiping, putting my eyes on Jesus, thinking about him, fixing my thoughts on him, hearing about him. And then the Holy Spirit would say, boom, take it, it's yours. I tried the commanding. I tried the standing. I tried healed men go to work when my back was just in excruciating pain, using my authority, standing on the word, you know, trying to put my socks on, trying to put my shoes on. Why? Because healed men get dressed, you know, and I'm all mental. My wife, honey, can I help you? No, you can't help me because healed men don't need help from their wife. You know, oh, man. And I couldn't sleep that night. I got up and I said, you know what? As long as I'm going to stay up, I'm just going to worship him. I put worship music on and I started worshiping him. I was in the living room. I was dancing and twirling before him and raising my arms and lifting my arms up to him and just letting him know, you know, I'm so grateful that he loves me. I'm so grateful that he saved me. I'm so grateful for his grace. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, thank you for loving me. And then all of a sudden, as I'm doing that, the Holy Spirit says, take it. It's yours. And I went, I know what you're saying. Believed in my heart, spoke it with my mouth, back pain was gone, I went to bed, you know? So we got to take the work and the effort out of it. Jesus put his work and effort into it. So this is a long introduction because I think, you know what? I don't know if you guys need to hear it, but I need to hear it. I need to hear it. Rosalind, are you live or are you frozen? Ah, see, that's just a picture, I think. But anyway, you're live? Okay, good.
That's my
headshot. All right, I got it. There you go. All right. So I just feel that we need to hear these truths over and over and over again. We need to be reminded of them over and over again, over and over again. You know? And, you know, before we go on any further, I want to let you guys know I'm so pumped. I'm so excited that Friday's at 12 o'clock. You know, look for me on Healing Journeys Today, the platform Julianne and Butch Hartman. They blessed me with the opportunity to be a guest speaker for the month of April, 12 o'clock. And my wife, my daughter has informed me. She said, Dad, nobody, no guests have gotten the amount of views that you're getting. We're up around 2,500 views. And she said, Dad, that just doesn't happen with guest speakers. And I believe it's because people are hungry for the gospel of grace.
Amen.
They're hungry for the true gospel of grace, and we want more to hear it and more and to go out more and more and more and more, you know. And then, you know, the other quick announcement I have is our book, The Two Greatest Forces in the Life of a Believer, Love and Righteousness. And I read this pretty much every day. I either read it in the morning or I read it at night. It's a quick read, but it's a deep read. It's a deep read, and I'm getting so many encouraging messages from people that are reading that book, and it's available on Amazon. So get yours, and don't only get yours, and don't just tell me that you're enjoying the book. Leave a, what's it called, Lori?
Review.
Yeah, leave a review. And because they do mean a lot. So anyway, we're going to continue in the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 2. All right? Chapter 2 in Galatians. It's going to start getting good. So Galatians chapter 2. Is it right if I took that little segue? Huh? Is that all right if I took that little segue? All right. Kristen. Okay. I'm looking for Christine from Texas, but that's Kristen. That's from Pennsylvania, right? From Pennsylvania? I'm waiting for your husband to come, and I'm going to go trout fishing after church one day. I got my license, so we can go. We can go trout fishing. Oh, New Jersey. Okay, here we go.
I'm ready to go.
All right. We go some trout fishing. I'm going to have to take my wife until you get up here. All right. You can't have fun being a Christian. You're doing something wrong. Honey, you'll go fishing with me, right? You will. I know you will. You got done watching March Madness, the basketball games with me, and you liked it. I actually said, honey, I'll go in the bedroom and watch. You said, no, leave it out. Leave it on. I like it. She was just, I love my wife. That's why I watch Hallmark movies with her. That's why I go shopping with her to her favorite stores, TJ Maxx and Marshalls, you know, because we're one and we love being with each other. So anyway, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now, this wasn't, and you have to understand that, this visit wasn't a, hey, let's go down south and visit mom and my brother and my, you know, and let's go visit Allie and Zane and Wilder. This wasn't a fun visit that he's talking about. 14 years, I'm going, I 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, okay? He went to Jerusalem for one reason and one reason only. He was getting a little bit weary from all the persecution and tribulations. It wasn't coming from the Romans, all right? It was coming from his brethren, the Jews, his Jewish brethren. It was coming from them. And what he believed was they were expedited from Rome. Not from Rome, from Jerusalem. And I don't think he was wrong, okay? And so Paul was under tremendous attack. And we went over some of the warnings that he had given. And for instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, he says, Timothy, you need to be strong. You need to be strong. You need to remember what you've learned from me. You have to be ready and willing and able to suffer hardships like a good soldier. And when he was talking about hardships, you know what he was talking about. You know, twice he received 40 stripes minus one, you know, at the hands of the Jews. Not the Romans, the Jews. The Jews. And beaten with rods. My goodness. And stoned and left for dead. This is from the Judaizers. Why? Because they were mad at him. They were upset at him. They were angered at him because they believed he was trying to get the Jews, right, to denounce, right, the law of Moses, especially the converted Jews who believed in Jesus. They still believed in Jesus, but they still believed in righteousness through the law of Moses. And they did not like him at all. They did not like him at all. He would get these Gentiles saved, and these Gentiles would be born again, and he wouldn't teach them a lick of anything about that had to do with the law. The Big Ten, the little 613. As far as Paul was concerned, it didn't have a place in his gospel. Do you realize that? It didn't have a place in his gospel. Hallelujah. All it was condemnation and guilt. He called it the administration of condemnation, the administration of death. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, right? He called it the ceremonial laws and moral laws. He called them contrary to us. He called them against us. He called it, you know, bondage. In Acts chapter 20, verse 31, he's saying, with tears for 3 years, I told you guys, I'm going to leave. And with tears, I told you, they're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come and they're going to try to take your liberty away. They're going to try to steal your liberty from you. We went over that. We went over Acts chapter 20, verse 39, where he called them wolves. Can you imagine he called them wolves? And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, he called them evil workers. He called them dogs. Because they tried to get people to adhere to the law of Moses. And you know what else I found out the other day? Because I'm also teaching on Tuesday nights about the book of Revelation and the church at Smyrna. You know what the organization of Jews was called there? Who tried to get the believers to adhere to the laws of Moses? Jesus, through John, called them the synagogue of Satan. Can you imagine that? This is harsh words that's spoken by Paul, by John, and by Jesus about these Judaizers, these people from Jerusalem. You know who the leader was there, who's trying to, you know, continue in righteousness by the law of Moses. And they still do it today. You must. You need to. You have to. You have an obligation. You have a requirement. Anyway. So anyway, this wasn't a fun trip. And he went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which he preaches among the gospel he preaches among the Gentiles. But he went privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. I do not like that at all. Can you imagine? Here's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. For it is the power of God to salvation. This is the Apostle Paul, right? And then he says, if another man preaches a different gospel than the one I'm let him be accursed. If an angel, we went over this, preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So when he's going to say, lest by any means I ran or had run in vain. Oh boy, I looked that up in Strong's and in Vines and words that were there and words that were used. It's better translated. I especially wanted the most senior leadership of the church to hear what I teach in the Gentile nations as my revelation and specific emphasis of the gospel. We decided to meet in private to avoid any possible public controversies, which was going to take place. In this way, they could best judge for themselves whether, according to their opinion, my ministry had credibility or not. And that was amazing because I told you, he's going to, in this chapter, later on, tell us where he approaches Peter to his face. Because Peter strayed from the truth. Peter was the first one. I kind of believe Peter received, well, maybe when Paul was in the wilderness, or when he was in Arabia, Peter received the gospel of grace. When God, the sheet came down, and God told Peter, eat. And Peter said, I've never let anything unclean pass through my lips. And God kind of scolded him and said, you know, don't you dare call anything unclean that I have called clean. And he said, don't you dare call anything common that I've called common. Now, it's amazing when you look at those words in the Greek, what they mean. The word clean, what I have clean, it means purified. Purified. Don't you call something that I've purified unclean. So what is he telling to Peter? Peter, when they believe in Jesus Christ, they're purified. And we know that's true because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, by one sacrifice, he perfected forever those who were sanctified. So we know that's true. And so that's what the word common, do you know what the word common means? I didn't know this. He says, don't you dare call anybody common, right? And you know what that word common means? Levitically unclean. Levitically unclean. So he's saying, I've made them clean. Clean according to your laws. Clean according to the righteousness of that you try to strive to attain through most. I have called them clean. I have made them Levitically clean. Don't you dare call them unclean. Now, who is he talking about? He wasn't talking about Jews who knew the Lord. He's talking about Gentiles. He's talking about Cornelius and the whole household. And they get saved and the Holy Spirit comes and pow, they speak in other tongues. And Peter knew right then and there, wow, born again, born anew, new creation realities, power of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, giftings of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know a lick of the law. Is that amazing? So that's verse 2. Verse 3. Our Greek companion Titus survived the circumcision scrutiny and wasn't forced to go through the cut. He was kind of afraid that once he got to Jerusalem, all the pressure would be on him. Titus, he was a Greek, but he thought all this pressure would be on him from the Judaizers because it was so strong that he would have to get circumcision. And I guess that's not a pleasant thought for an older man. So, but he didn't have to, thank God, because of Paul. So now verse 4. Some disguised Jewish friends... No, not... Verse 4. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And you know who he's talking about there primarily? Barnabas. You know that Barnabas was originally sent, hey, go check this out. Go find out what he's teaching and then report back to us. The only thing that Barnabas didn't report back, because he was overjoyed and he was excited and he was enthusiastic and he was amazed by the gospel that Paul was preaching. So instead of going back to Jerusalem to report to them, he stayed with Paul and Barnabas. All right? But make no mistake about it. This is indicating they were sent from Jerusalem to spy out the freedom of Paul's gospel that it was being taught to the Gentile nations. This is all that's going on. This Galatians is amazing. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So what Paul is saying there is that, listen, we went up to have it out so that we can come back from this situation and know that this persecution, that this attempt to get us back under bondage would stop, would be done away with. And that this message of the truth of the glorious gospel that we've been preaching could be received, could become part of your very lives, can energize your lives without any fear of them. Without any fear from them. I like verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So when you look at verse 2, especially in the King James Version, where it seems like Paul is kind of concerned or thinking that there might be a chance that he's been preaching in vain, right? Now, when you look at verse 6, you know that's not true. Paul was not worried about the fact that he was preaching in vain. He already told us he received his gospel from Jesus himself. So you can see the conflict in your own translations between verse 2 and verse 6. In verse 6, Paul is making it clear. It didn't care who they were. It didn't matter to me who they were. They're just men just like us. All right? You know, in fact, God doesn't have any special children. You know? He doesn't. You're his special children? Oh, okay. All right. He has one. You? Okay. He has a couple more. All right. Okay. Yeah, he has special children. I'm his favorite. No, you're his favorite? Okay. All right. So I'm going to read verse 6. Here we go. The high-ranked leaders had nothing to add to Paul's message. I must say that their seniority did not intimidate me in the least. God does not judge people on face value. The important ones and the unimportant ones are equally esteemed and loved by him. This is amazing. Can you imagine Paul? I told you, he wasn't going to Jerusalem for a fun visit, for a fun trip. He was going there to have it out. He was tired of this. He was tired of them spying on him. He was tired of them, you know, trying to put his converts, his Gentile converts, underneath the requirements of the law of Moses. This was not a fun visit. Right? In verse 7 it says, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of this uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. What is that telling you right there? What is that telling you right there?
Two groups.
Two gospels. Two proclamations. One, faith in Jesus only. One, faith in Jesus and adherence to the law of Moses. And this is why it's vitally important for you to study Galatians, to know what was going on in the early church, to know what's still going on in the church today, to know that New Testament, this is the simplest of truths I can teach you. New Testament doesn't equal New Covenant. And in the New Testament, there were two gospels that were being preached. One to the circumcision, by the circumcision, and one by the champion of grace. To people, you know, we're gonna learn in chapter 3, you know, or chapter 4, we said, you know, who bewitched you? You know, you started out in the spirit. Now, you're going back to the moons and to the festivals and to the seasons and to, you know, what's Paul talking about? He's talking about all the ceremonial laws. It's just, he didn't care if the Gentiles knew anything about the law. Well, you say to yourself, Pastor Lenny, then how do people or how do Christians know how to live? Well, according to Paul, you're joined with Jesus Christ. You died with him. You were buried with him. You were raised to newness of life with him. As he is, so are you. You're righteous. You're righteous. And Paul tells us what righteous is. You're fully approved of before God. You're fully loved by God. You're fully qualified by God. You're at peace with God. You're just as if you've never sinned. All right? You're joined to Jesus Christ. He is joined to the Lord as one spirit with the Lord. Now, if you're a true son of God, don't yawn. You're going to make me yawn. Why are you yawning? You bored?
No.
No. So you're excited?
Yes.
So why are you yawning then? Nobody out there is yawning, right? No, okay. So now what was I saying? What was I just saying?
Huh? I was
yawning. See, you were yawning. Oh, man. Okay. So Paul, what was I saying? What was I just saying? Who's not paying attention? All right, all raise your hands. No. So Paul didn't care if they ever knew anything about the law. And we're talking about what? If you're a son of God and you're a daughter of God, right? You're born of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you, right? And the Holy Spirit leads you. You're led by the Holy Spirit. You're led by the Holy Spirit. And now, as you embrace your true holiness and true righteousness, right? Just like Jesus, holy and righteous. And as you grow in that understanding, you will step into the reality of your new creation. You think you're going to need thou shalt? No, you're not going to need a thou shalt not. I'm glad I don't know the big 10. I don't know all 10 of them. I just know one of them, you know, thou shalt honor and obey your mother and father, for you shall have a long life. Right, Mom? I'm going to have a long life. You know, so That's it. We're led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. There you go. Look in the mirror and see the glory of Jesus Christ. See Jesus Christ. And when you look at Jesus, you have to say, he was holy and he was righteous and he was filled with love and he was filled with compassion, right? Well, Paul said, you look in the mirror and you're looking at your reflection. So this is it. And then Paul says, listen, sin has no more dominion over you. Why? Well, you're not under the law. Now you're under grace. Grace is what gives you dominion over sin. Not memorizing the Big Ten and the 613. So this is Paul. This is amazing. But Peter, you're going to find out next week, he disassembled himself from the Gentiles. That means he stopped hanging with them. He stopped eating with them. He stopped fellowshipping with them. Why? 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 He was afraid of James. He was afraid of James. I wish ministers would just tell it like it is. Tell it like it says. You know, instead of, you know, maybe most of them don't know that there were two gospels. They have to know if they read Romans and they read Galatians. They have to know, right? You would think they would know. You would think they would know. And so I want to read to you what was going on. This is why Paul went to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 21, verse 17 through 21. And it says, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by Paul's ministry. So Paul went there to give testimony as to the great things and the mighty things and the amazing things that were happening through his ministry to the Gentiles. And when they heard it, they glorified God. They glorified the Lord. But then they said unto him, but thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. See that? That's the gospel of the circumcision. Faith in Jesus Christ and zealousness for the law. Faith in Jesus Christ and zealousness for the law. Now this is why James and they were kind of fearful for Paul. Fearful for Paul. And this is why he went to Jerusalem. And it says, they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of you, Paul, that you teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. All right, so what is that saying? Is that saying, Paul, we really wish you would teach them the ways of Moses and the customs? Right? Paul, you're not doing it, so you're getting all our brothers mad at you? Paul, they all believe you're trying to get them to forsake the law of Moses? You know? And so what happens as a result of that meeting and what's taking place here, Galatians is giving us a little bit of the background of what's taking place in Acts. What's happening there is there's going to be a separation now. Okay, you let me go to the Gentiles. Peter, you go to the Jews. I'm going to the Gentiles. And then what he said was, but listen to me. Don't you put on them anything that happens to do with the law of Moses. And then James said, okay. Well, we'll only have one thing. We'll have two things. Because James is a law dog. He's got to give him two laws. He said, number one, don't let him eat meat that was, you know, whatever, about idols and whatever. And then number two, make sure they give to the poor. You know, and what did Paul say? James, this is grace you're talking about, James. They already give. They give abundantly. In fact, I have an offering from them for the church at Jerusalem. You don't have to worry about that when it comes to grace. And so we see something powerful unfolding in the book of Galatians. And I hope this is all making sense and leading you to understand that fact: New Testament doesn't equal New Covenant, that there were two gospels being preached. There still is two gospels being preached. We do what we can, you know, under the leading of the Holy Spirit to help you establish right filters. I am what? I am just like Jesus. I am righteous like Jesus. I am sanctified just like Jesus. I am holy just like Jesus. I am righteous just like Jesus. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. So I'm fully qualified, you know, with Jesus, as Jesus is. All right? I am. I have. What do you have? I have all things. I have all things. I'm a joint heir. Everything was given to Jesus. Everything was given to me. I have all things. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Well, what do you have to do to position yourself? Well, I don't have to do anything except believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. I believe in Jesus Christ. And the right filters. I am, I can, and I have. And if anybody tells you anything different, you know, you say, listen, that's not my gospel. That's not Paul's gospel. That's not the gospel of grace. And listen for your tells. Listen for the tells. You need to, you have to, you must. All right? You have an obligation. Those are tells. And here's another tell. Paul, you're going to see this here as we go on. My wife always addresses people every Sunday as saints, holy and righteous ones. The reason why is because she spends a lot of time in Paul's writings just like I do. Now, do you know how many times Paul uses the word saints about us? Calls us saints, to the saints, you saints, the saints, God's holy saints. You know how many times? 40. 40 times. And saints, saint means holy and unblameable ones. That's how Paul addresses us. Holy and unblameable. Holy and unblameable. Paul, if Paul talks about sin in any way, shape, or form, you look at where Paul talks about sin. When he's talking about present day people, right? And he talks about their conditions, and he'll say things like, which some of you were, which some of you formerly were. He never equates their present life, in Jesus Christ, he never equates it with sin in any way, shape, or form. He always addresses them as new creation realities. So this is another tell when you are being addressed, when you're listening to a message, whatever. They're not speaking to you in your new creation realities. They're not speaking to you as you are just like Jesus Christ in every way. You are just like Jesus Christ. We are just like Jesus Christ. This book, The Two Greatest Forces in the Life of a Believer, Love and Righteousness, I'm working on part two in the series. Part two in the series is going to be coming out, I would say, in about a month. It's I am, I can, and I have because Jesus told me so. And that's going to be another book. I mean, I'm telling you what, between these two books, and we're keeping this series going, people are not going to, they're not going to know, they're going to know what hit them. They're going to know what hit them, the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the power, the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And when the gospel of Christ is preached in its truth, when the gospel of Christ is preached, then the miraculous is released, just like it was back then. But when mixture is preached, there's no power there in that gospel. There's no power there in that gospel. So anyway, that's what I have for you today. Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Who? Who's that? Rosalyn?
Hi.
Go ahead, ask me.
You mentioned that you have an app that has the Strong's Concordance attached to the King James version.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing what
both? Both Kindle has it. Okay.